It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Tell a big enough lie and people will believe you. In fact, the more audacious the lie, the less they'll think you could have come up with that kind of monstrosity. That's why it works. And that was the philosophy of Hitler's propagandist, Joseph Goebbels. The left loves to compare the right to Nazis. But ladies and gentlemen, when we examine the actual tactics of the real honest-to-goodness Nazis, we see who is really following in their footsteps. Such as footsteps of lies. And the lies abound in every arena. We are told not to believe our lying eyes that a man is really a woman if he simply decides to call himself one. We are told today that Israel is an apartheid state because they were set up to be a Jewish state. My friends, you don't have to be Jewish to live in Israel. You don't have to be Jewish to be a citizen. There are Christian citizens of Israel. But yes, the modern-day Israel was set up originally to be a home for Jews to return to their ancient land. Again, that doesn't mean other people don't have rights. That doesn't mean other people can't be citizens. There are many Arab citizens in Israel, and they have more rights there than any Arab in any Arab Muslim country. Speaking of Arab Muslim countries, isn't it interesting that those who object to a Jewish state have zero problem with a Muslim state? And you realize, of course, that just about every country in the Middle East calls itself a Muslim state. Another lie. Antifa exists because they are against fascism. This is a sleight of hand. Antifa means anti-fascist, so they're hoping you'll be stupid enough to say, well, they can't be fascists because they claim they're against fascists. Never mind what they claim. Look at their actions. Actions like Berkeley campus last week where they started a riot to intimidate people at a Turning Point event. And many people with tickets never even went inside, even though the event did still go on. One Turning Point student in line was attacked by a person who nicknamed himself Jihad, aptly named, which leads to another lie that Muslims are mostly peaceful and true Muslims don't believe in the Jihad. Well, I guess that's so, unless you want to read the Quran, which does command Jihad. Now, there are Muslims that don't seem to know what their own book says. So in that light, there are peaceful Muslims. But the Muslims that are reading and understanding that book, they know the Jihad was commanded and commanded by Muhammad himself. But people on the left, considered useful idiots to the Muslims, have their own identity crisis regarding violence. Violent protests from Antifa, they say, are just the First Amendment, freedom of speech. And events limited to real speech, such as what was going on at Turning Point indoors at Berkeley, where students were called to love even their enemies, well, that's the real violence. Only recently, a new chapter of Turning Point was developed at a Rhode Island high school in reaction to what a teacher was saying. A teacher found on the internet mocking Charlie Kirk.
I have about as much sympathy for Charlie Kirk right now as I do for all those farmers across the country who want socialist handouts from the government right now. This is a man who hated the LGBTQ community, who hated women's rights, who hated democracy, who thought that he was a big man because he went to college campuses and debated, thought he proved how tough he was with his words that he studied ahead of time. What a piece of garbage. This is what happens. I'm curious if we're going to want to take guns away now from who will inevitably be the white man who shot and killed him. Bye, Charlie.
Mr. You have no idea what you're talking about. Your towering arrogance is matched only by your Grand Canyon of ignorance. Kirk never said he hated people whose lifestyles he disagrees with. He just pointed out why he disagreed. Why don't you just teach what you were hired to teach and keep your swinish mouth shut on matters you've never honestly examined? Well, don't worry. Maybe the left doesn't view Charlie Kirk as a hero, but they do have their heroes. The latest hero, Sean Dunn, who used to work for the Justice Department. But when federal officers were in Washington, D.C., he threw a sandwich that he had recently bought at Subway. He threw it at an officer. He was arrested and he was acquitted. So now people can just throw things at federal officers. Isn't that nice? And listen to how emboldened this dude feels.
I am so happy that justice prevails in spite of everything happening. And that night, I believe that I was protecting the rights of immigrants. And let us not forget that the Great Seal of the United States says, E pluribus unum. That means from many, one. Every life matters, no matter where you came from, no matter how you got here, no matter how you identify. You have the right to live a life that is free. Thank you.
Shut up!
Yes, people are allowed into our country legally, not illegally. Just what part of that do you not understand? And the agents in D.C. had been welcomed by the mayor and by most of the people interviewed to keep their streets safe from criminals and thugs. But face it, if they'll call Israel an apartheid country, if they'll call men women, if they'll call those merely speaking violent, if they call those participating in violence champions of First Amendment speaking, then they will also make it up as they go with immigration. Sean Dunn was fired from the Justice Department. Maybe he'll go to work for Subway instead. Maybe they'll name a hero sandwich after him, even though he only qualifies for baloney. Although baloney is too nice a word for a self-righteous, sanctimonious loudmouth who dangerously spreads anarchy under the guise of saving democracy. This guy wouldn't recognize democracy if it popped up in a tuna sandwich. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool. We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. No stranger to our show, Steve Baldwin is a conservative grassroots strategist who was also a California assemblyman for 6 years. Steve, welcome to our program.
Oh, it's great to be on the show again, Bob.
It's great having you. Now, I know you had some concerns about the legitimacy of our recent special elections on the East Coast, Virginia and New Jersey. I guess that would include New York City, where we elected Zoran Mankami to office. So I'm hearing all kinds of people talk about things Republicans need to learn from this and how did we possibly lose these elections. But you think there was more to it than that. Go ahead and expound on that.
Well, I do think that there was a messaging issue and a lot of people are focused on that. But I think everyone's missing another issue, and that is voter fraud. We know what's happened in the last couple elections. We know that they've been stealing elections. We know that in red states, they have resisted all kinds of investigations and audits. And we know that in states such as New Jersey, at least 300,000 people are on the voting rolls that are registered at a non-resident address. Under federal law, you must be registered at a residence. These are people registered at gas stations, warehouses, so forth. So what happens here is the Democrats, they use sophisticated software to locate all the people who are dead or moved out of state or are inactive. They haven't voted in many years. And they submit change of address forms for all these names because they need to control those addresses. And they don't want to get in trouble, so they end up submitting change of address forms to places that are a friend's gas station or their friend's the manager of Walmart, but they control the address. And by doing this, all the mail-in ballots are then sent to these places that are not residences. We know this because we have cross property tax rolls.
I was going to ask, since these are blue states, who's doing the detective work? Because the Democrats aren't going to be motivated to do that.
We've actually done it. I'm involved with a group that has obtained the voter file and the property tax file.
Is that theirs as a public service? They have to hand that over if request it?
They have to. And we cross them, and we can see 300 people are registered at a gas station. Now, that's not a coincidence or an accident. That's an organized fraud ring. We believe it happened again in these states where we just got slaughtered 2 weeks ago because they were fearful that they would not win. And so they engaged in their fraud techniques. Because if you really think about it, voter identification with the Democrat Party is at a 30-year low right now. How can you have voter identification at a 30-year low with the Democrats and still have one of the highest turnouts we've seen in decades? So to me, that's a sign that they added lots of votes, lots of mail-in votes were added to the voter file and voted by warehouses full of volunteers, filling out these ballots and turning them in. And we know that because in blue states where we demand to see the signature matching cards, they always block it. Why? Because the signatures on these phony mail-in ballots, they're real people. Bear in mind, they're real people. But the signature, no one knows what the signature on the original application looks like. So they're just doing little squigglies. And if you got a hold of the original signature on file and matched it, you would find none of them are matching. They blocked us in Arizona from doing that. And they blocked us, I'm sure, in all the blue states. No one was able to look at them. And we've been yelling and screaming at the Republican Party now for years to file lawsuits against these blue states because this is in violation of the National Voter Registration Act. You have to make a good faith effort to clean up your voter rolls. They're not doing it in New Jersey or New York, and even some states that we think are Republican leaning. If the Democrats control the Secretary of State, they control the process.
Well, and even when it's a Republican secretary, look at 2020 back in Georgia. The Republicans were worthless there.
If you've got a rhino Secretary of State, you might as well be a Democrat.
Why are the Republicans so worthless when it comes to fighting? It seems like Trump, if there's one thing Trump has done, is he's taught people how to fight. Not enough people are learning the lessons. Some are. But why are they so worthless here? They drive me nuts.
Well, there's two parties in America, Bob. There's the Communist Party, which is the Democrats, and there's the Stupid Party, which is us.
I know. They're just a circling firing squad. It drives me crazy.
It is.
That's one of the reasons I'm an independent. I always vote Republican, but I am an independent. I'm just fed up with the Republicans.
Well, I've gotten a hold of Harmeet Dhillon's people.
Oh, she's good. I like her.
Because she's supposedly looking into election fraud, and I'm encouraging her legal team to start filing lawsuits against some of these blue states now, before the midterms is here, because I think they can file lawsuits that these states are not following the National Voter Registration Act, and you go to court, we can easily show any judge a printout of the property rules matched against the voter file, and we can see, Your Honor, there are 300,000 people in this state who are not registered at a legal residence. These need to be struck. It's far easier to strike the address from the voting roll than the person. Most of the voter integrity groups go after people, and it's a lot messier. And the people sue, and you're depriving me of my rights, blah, blah, blah. You can't prove I'm an illegal alien, blah, 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 blah. Well, you don't go after the people. The strategy that needs to be employed by the Republican Party is you strike the phony addresses from the voting rolls, and you deprive them of that supply of phantom.
And you don't let states change their election laws before the election.
Well, that's another thing.
Like the mail-in voting is just a disaster.
Well, we do have a good chance of the Supreme Court ruling in our favor. Judicial Watch is involved for that lawsuit against Illinois, which accepts ballots up to 14 days later.
Yeah.
Last time, who's ahead?
Okay, we have 14 days to fix this.
Last time I read the Constitution, it's election day, not election month.
Yeah, and the people that are always screaming at Trump about the Constitution, they have no use for the real. They would get rid of the real Constitution if they were in power. The Constitution just gets in their way.
Exactly. The leftist opposition in America today are not in favor of our basic constitutional rights.
Not at all.
They're Marxist, and they're advocates of culture. Cultural Marxism, and they're anti-family, anti-property, anti-free market, anti-secure borders.
You know, on that note, it's a little bit on the side, but it's related. When somebody is an actual communist, and I know people play games, they say I'm a socialist, but when they actually are communists and are really related to that party, but they scream that they have a First Amendment right to portray their views, and yet the very document that gives them that right, getting rid of that document is embedded in their view. I say they don't have a right to the First Amendment of a document that they are not really defending, that they want to destroy. But most Republicans would say, no, we got to protect every. How do you feel about that? To me, that's kind of a contradiction there.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it's getting more difficult by the day to determine the difference between a Democrat Party member and a communist. Most of their views are now in alignment. You could not say that 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I mean, I grew up with, JFK, and my grandparents, all conservatives, all voted Democratic. But I think both parties were in general agreement 30, 40 years ago. Yeah, they disagreed.
They disagreed as to how to get things done, but they were in agreement about what their goal was, and they cared about the country.
They generally were in agreement that the free market system was the superior economic system, that the family unit was the best unit possible to raise children, that a strong defense was the best way to prevent war. I mean,
they weren't calling violence speech and speech violence and men, women, and women, men. There wasn't that kind of a divide.
But we don't have that anymore.
No.
Well, we can compromise with them, Steve. No. If one party doesn't believe in the free enterprise system, and we do, what's the halfway point?
The only thing they ever agree on is voting themselves a raise when everybody else in the government is shut down and not getting a salary. That's exactly agreement on.
We are now dealing with a political party that is fundamentally opposed to everything, every principle that our founding fathers basis.
And they demonized the founding fathers. They were all a bunch of white slaveholders. Well, they weren't all slaveholders. A lot of them were very anti. But they're rewriting history.
They're brainwashing our children in the schools. They're using the courts as a political battering ram. Even after the Supreme Court has tried to strike down a few of these decisions, they still, every week, you see some judge strike down something else that Trump
did. It's incredible. They keep calling Trump a king and a tyrant, and yet he can't even breathe without some judge overruling him. How's that a king?
I mean, Obama deported.
How's that a monarchy?
Obama deported for all his flaws and the fact that he was a horrible
He was known
president.
As the deporter in chief. Yeah.
He deported 5 million people. Not one leftist Democrat attacked
him. No, because he was Obama the Messiah.
Not one judge tried to stop him.
Of course not.
There was no attacks on ICE. In fact, he was praised for
it. Yeah,
But suddenly Trump's in power, who's deported about one-third of what Obama's done, and he is the devil. That's unbelievable.
It just makes your head spin. It really makes your head spin. Now, we have a mutual friend, Mike Friedenberg.
Yes.
While believing that election fraud does exist, and he was certainly in agreement with us that the 2020 elections were stolen, to some degree, certain races in 2022, he does feel that these elections we just had on the East Coast were legitimately lost because Trump is talking too much about foreign policy, not enough about domestic cost of living. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's a combination. Like I was alluding to earlier, there was some messaging problems, and I do think that Trump has not spoken enough about some of the domestic issues that especially the younger people are worried about. They can't afford a home. They're worried about inflation coming back. They're worried about the impact of all kinds of regulations and the growth of government and the massive deficit we have. And they're worried if they're ever going to be able to have the opportunities that their mom and dad had. And so Trump didn't really address those issues that much. He was kind of focused on foreign policy, which are important issues. A lot of the foreign policy issues he has addressed are certainly something that should not be ignored. But he doesn't have to spend the amount of time talking about them as he has, nor should he dismiss people's concerns about Epstein files, where he kind of blows off anyone who questions him. And
Now my view on that is that he's not covering up for himself.
Right.
Because if they had something on him the 4 years Biden was in office, they would have indicted him for spilling mustard off his sandwich at recess as a kid.
They would have had those files out.
Yeah, they would have had them out. But I do think maybe there's some foreign leader that Trump works with and makes deals with and that he's trying to protect him. I wouldn't presume to guess who that might be. But I'm guessing that Trump's covering it up in that area. And there is a messaging problem there, because when you start hearing, oh, the American people don't want to hear this, the American people want us to move on.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things the Democrats were saying when we were talking about Biden's cognitive ability. Let's move on. It doesn't work for either party.
He needs to listen to Richard Barris, the pollster, and other pollsters who are warning him that we're going to get clobbered at the midterms.
And if we do, he's going to be impeached again. The House will impeach him for anything.
And they'll
impeach him.
They'll drag it out for a whole year so that nothing goes on.
And it'll suck all the oxygen out of the room.
Exactly right. Basically, the Trump agenda will be over because the Congress will block everything. So we're perilous times right now. And if Congress knew what was best for them, they would abolish the filibuster now.
I was going to ask you about that. I talked a lot about the filibuster. It'd be nice for them to hear another voice for a change. Talk about the filibuster a little bit.
Well, the filibuster has not been with us since our founding. In fact, it didn't really exist until about 80 years after the founding. And it's been a way for both parties to point at the other party and claiming the other party is responsible, because not one party is responsible for anything when you have a two-thirds filibuster rule. And if you get rid of the filibuster, people say, oh, well, then the Democrats are going to be able to pass everything and we won't be able to. Well, they've already promised their base that they intend to abolish.
And they tried to do it last time, but we had a few people like Christian Sinema and Joe Manchin that blocked them, and they're not there anymore.
So the filibuster's on the way out. The question is, are we going to let the Democrats abolish the filibuster when they're in control of the White House?
My guess is the Republicans are going to do that because they make the best circling firing squad I've ever seen.
That's what I can't understand. These rhinos in the Senate, we've already lost the war of the filibuster. Why are they protecting the filibuster? Let's get rid of it and let Trump achieve his agenda.
Or at least use the nuclear option in a targeted way. They could have at least said, look, for the shutdown, we're going to get rid of the filibuster. We want to debate on whether to keep a post office open later. We can use it.
Yeah.
That's what they need to do. Okay, hold with me, Steve. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in three serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. He's good to be joined by Steve Baldwin, grassroots strategist. Steve, we were talking about the filibuster. Any more thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, you know, if we can get rid of the filibuster, Trump could pass an amazing number of bills that could save him in the midterms and save his agenda. Without passing that filibuster, I'm afraid a lot of his agenda is going to go nowhere.
Now, he's smart enough to be telling them to get rid of it. Do you think they're going to eventually listen to him?
Well, if the grassroots put enough pressure on some of these rhinos, we have like 4 or 5 rhinos to convince, maybe we might get lucky. But there's going to have to be a lot of grassroots pressure.
Yeah. Some of them, I just don't see them doing it at all. Now, back to these races on the East Coast. We were talking about the fact that maybe it was a combination of messaging and election fraud. I have no problem believing that the young people dumb enough in New York City put that communist in power. When we look at the other races, though, the Republican that we had in New Jersey, he seemed much farther ahead in the polls and in some good polls, and yet she beat him by a shutout. That one, to me, stings a lot more of election fraud. Yeah. I thought he had a pretty good chance of winning that. I know it's a blue state, but...
Well, say if I was the New Jersey Republican Party, I would tomorrow go ahead and obtain the voter file for New Jersey and the property file and cross them and see what kind of pattern they can find of people who are voting from non-resident addresses. And I guarantee you, because we've done this in numerous blue states, I guarantee you they're going to find probably a couple hundred thousand people who actually cast a ballot using an address that's not a legal resident address. It's not rocket scientists. You can figure this stuff out. You can actually look at the voter file and see who voted.
If you had to make a guess, are you inclined to think that we might have seen a Republican win or two in those elections if not for the fraud? Or do you think it was just a matter of degree?
Well, there was a lot of them that were very close races. And without election fraud, I think we could have won some of these school board races. I saw we lost school board races in areas that leaned towards Trump.
I think we would have at least beat out that attorney general in Virginia that said he wanted to murder his opponent a few years ago and,
and
dance on the graves of his children. I can't imagine that even the Democrats would be voting for that guy. That one smacks totally of election fraud.
And even in New York, if it wasn't a three-way race, if it was the communist against one opponent, that would have been a competitive race. And if you subtract some election fraud that probably took place in New York,
maybe
a more moderate Democrat would have won.
Yeah.
I don't know if a Republican would ever win there, but maybe a more moderate Democrat, a Cuomo, God forbid.
Never thought in my life I'd be rooting for Cuomo, but I was.
I know. Yeah. He's definitely more moderate than
sometimes the lesser of two evils is the way you got to go.
Unfortunately, it is. Yes.
How about the election that we had a couple of years ago, the attempt to unseat Governor Newsom? I'm of the opinion that that one was completely fraudulent and that he, in fact, would have been unseated. Our friend Mike disagrees on that one. Like I said, he recognizes a lot of election fraud. He thinks there's enough people in California that just kept Newsom in power. Your view on that one?
I think the election fraud in California is mostly in the category of illegal aliens. We know that approximately 3 million illegal aliens live in California. Now, there are 3 different university studies about the percentage of illegals that vote. And this is all these studies are between 10 and 12 years old. And they each concluded that between 9 and 12% of illegal aliens are voting. But that was over a decade ago. There's been a huge push by George Soros funded groups here in California and elsewhere to get illegals registered. And when you register for or sign up for welfare or a driver's license, you're automatically given a voter registration form here in California. So we believe the percent of illegals voting is around 20% now. So if you assume there's 3 million illegal aliens, what is 20% of 3 million? Well, it's 1/5 of 3 million is 600,000.
If you say so. I don't have a calculator in front of me. That's the only way I would do it.
Whatever it is, it's a big enough number right now to tilt statewide elections, no doubt.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that doesn't want to stop talking about 2020. Just recently, Hunter Biden bragged about how his dad just really kicked Trump's behind in that election. I think Trump won that election and won by a landslide. Your thoughts about what happened in 2020?
2020 was certainly the most fraudulent election maybe in United States history.
And on a massive scale this time.
The idea that a senile old man would receive, what, 3 million more votes?
Who campaigned from his basement and never had even 300 people show up at any of his rallies where Trump was having 3,000?
And he had 3 million more people supposedly cast votes for them than for Barack Obama, one of the most popular Democrat presidents.
And wasn't it 6 states where Trump was ahead, and all around the same time at midnight they closed down, and by an incredible coincidence, Biden was ahead the next morning? I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
We've never really gotten to the bottom of it. Many of the red states, they've refused all audits. They refused to show their records.
Well, and the talking points say the courts have settled this. The courts didn't settle it. The courts would never take it. And look at it.
They didn't even look at the case.
No, they wouldn't even look at the cases.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a stolen election, and he did an incredible amount of damage to the country in the 4 years.
Now, in some ways, it might have worked out for the better, because I think Trump's a better president, having had 4 years to think about what he would do differently. Not the least of which, he brought in his own people this time and didn't work with the deep state, whom he, in his innocence, trusted last time.
It's a better team this time around.
It's the dream team. It's like he has the Avengers working for him.
Oh, yeah. But it is kind of scary to come to the conclusion that a bunch of kids with pierced noses and pink hair were running the White House for 4 years.
Yeah.
And signing off his bills, signing the pardons, and basically making all the decisions because he was on the beach half the time or taking his nappy pie.
I love how Trump has pictures of all the past presidents in the White House, and when you get to Biden's, it's just a picture of an auto pen.
Yeah.
That has got to be the funniest dig I have ever seen.
Is that for real?
That is for real. He's got a picture of the auto pen. I'm sure the next president will take it down, but for the next couple of years, that's going to be up there. Yeah. You got to love it.
That's
you just got to love it.
The guy was clueless, and everyone knew it, and everyone lied. We try to tell us he was, he's smart. Joe Scarborough trying to tell us, he's the most brightest president we've ever had, or whatever it was that he said. What? Come on. Give me a break.
And then the other lie that Trump tried to use January 6th to have an insurrection. Your thoughts on that?
Well, as time has gone by,
we've learned all kinds of new things.
We've learned out everything about the hid video that has come out now, thanks to Tucker Carlson.
Policemen escorting people inside and letting them in.
275 policemen embedded in the crowds. We don't know how many is cops.
And FBI agents embedded in the crowds.
And now the pipe bomb. We're still waiting to hear. 5 days now it's been.
And you were of the opinion that some Antifa members were in there posing as Trump supporters too, right?
Yeah, we have Antifa members in the bushes putting red hats on, trying to look like Trump people. I mean, we don't know how much violent activity was encouraged by the federal officers and Antifa, but I suspect it's a lot. And now we have the pipe bomb scandal, where they have 99% sure identified it was a former Capitol Police woman. Why haven't they arrested her? Why has our FBI been silent for 5 days since the revelations have come out? I don't know what's the holdup here, but that proves, I think, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they were trying to make the event look like Trump was engaged in terrorism to take over the government, that he was willing to plant a bomb in order to shut down or take over the U.S. government. And so they had to plant a bomb to carry it out. Now we find out a federal officer planted that bomb. That's outrageous, Bob.
Wow.
That should be one of the biggest scandals in American history. But I'm hearing nothing but crickets out of
Yeah, and the months leading up to that, we had the Summer of Love, where federal buildings were being burnt down all over the country.
All over the country.
Billions of dollars of damage. Nobody blinked an eye.
And no one arrested. If they were arrested, they were released
a
couple days later.
Makes your head spin. Some of the stuff coming out on Comey and Brennan, can you comment on that?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is something we all knew about. We knew that there was a deep state conspiracy involving Comey, Brennan, and other key intelligence operatives. But it's just nice to actually be able to see actual documents come out that verify what we always knew all along, that they're trying to frame Trump, that the whole Crossfire Hurricane thing was an FBI, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama secretive campaign to try to make Trump look like he's involved with illegal activities and so forth and so on. That's the biggest, I think, political corruption in American history. It makes Watergate look like a Boy Scout camp out.
Well, Watergate seems like nothing these days.
Nothing. And they put 32 Republicans in prison for Watergate, Bob. How many people have we put in prison on the Democrats? Democrat side. I'm still waiting.
Yeah.
Hello. I mean, I love the team he's got there, and some of it's out of our control. Some of it's because the statute of limitations is unfortunately run out.
Right.
But, you know, there were people in the Trump White House in his first term who could have pursued that and did not because he had some bad people around him in the first term.
How do you feel about Mike Pence refusing to challenge that election on January 6th?
Oh, I think it's going to go down as one of the most horrible decisions ever made. I mean, he tries to act like he was following the Constitution.
All they were asking him to do was delay it for a few days. How many states were asking to be recertified or have the certifications examined?
Six states, I think.
Yeah. They couldn't have delayed that a few days?
There's nothing illegal with asking for a delay.
No.
Nothing at all.
It's almost like somebody had something on him or some kind of pressure was put on
him. Well, he has an aide named Mark Short, who I knew back in my days I spent in D.C., who was a liberal Republican. And he was advising his boss, Mike Pence, to get away from that whole thing, which he did. So, poor staff. And his gravestone's going to read, "I'm the guy who certified a legal election."
Legal election, yeah.
That's going to be in his gravestone, figuratively speaking.
But there's so many shoes dropping. This idea that Biden wasn't really running the White House for the last 4 years. I mean, that was obvious to so many, but it's obvious to everybody now. Don't you think the shoe's going to drop on the election fraud of 2020 eventually, too?
It's
if they can so easily realize that this guy was never really our president while he was in the White House, how hard is it going to be to understand that he never really won the election either?
Yeah.
Seems like they just go together.
Yeah, I think eventually you're going to see an asterisk in history books next to Joe Biden's name, and the asterisk is going to say this election was most likely stolen. Unfortunately, by the time we have all the documentation to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was stolen,
it won't matter anymore.
It won't matter anymore. The statute of limitations will be over and so forth and so on. A lot of the records will be destroyed, but we know what happened, and there's just no way Joe Biden won.
It just stretches credulity. Okay, Steve, hold with me for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, "What?" By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. Did you know that SDCC has been training servant leaders since 1970? That's over 50 years of making an impact. Our degree and certificate programs blend academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Whether you're a traditional age college student or a working professional who wants to complete their degree or certificate program, we may be a match for you. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College, over 50 years in the making.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined with Steve Baldwin. Steve, if you were advising the Trump's campaign and you wanted to rate, I think he's had a phenomenal year. We talk about the domestic policy that isn't being emphasized enough. They're not talking enough about no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security. That's going to do wonders for our economy and the working class. But we'd all agree that the messaging can be better. What would you advise them to make sure we don't lose these midterms? Because that is of great concern.
Well, yeah, I do think he needs to talk more about the bread and butter economic issues and how the massive savings he is responsible for by identifying and cutting billions of dollars of fraud. I hardly hear any stories about it. He needs to explain to the people that these are your tax dollars that are being wasted on waste and fraud, and billions was saved. And you're right, the Social Security issue is powerful. I wish
we never hear anybody talking about it.
No one's ever talking about it. We should exempt Social Security from being taxed.
The media talked about it more when Kamala tried to steal the idea and claim she was going to do it than anything Trump ever said about it.
That's a very powerful issue.
Yeah.
And he should maybe even discuss another tax cut at some point, especially if the tariffs are allowed to stand and they continue bringing all.
Yeah, now what are your views
in
of the tariffs? I know there are Republicans that don't like them. I don't mind them myself, but I don't know if they're communicating them as well as they can.
I think tariffs have been used for foreign policy purposes ever since the beginning of America. I mean, you can go back and look at the history of tariffs, and George Washington and Jefferson and others were using tariffs.
Well, they were just slave owners. What do they know? They were just a couple of white guys.
So this idea that what Trump is doing is somehow new, it's not accurate. Tariffs have always been used to try to change the behavior of other countries towards us. And it's working in every case. In every case, we're getting other countries to lower their barriers to U.S. products, to their markets. People don't understand, but we've been screwed by almost every country in the world for the last couple generations. We've actually established a trade system that basically screws America. And both parties for years have allowed it to exist. Under Trump, for the first time, we are actually leveling the playing field in many countries.
Well, look at that Latin American country that didn't want to take their illegals back. They refused. Trump says, fine, we'll just slap a tariff on you in less than 24 hours. Whoa! Yeah. Trump and Jiminy, you misunderstood. Yeah, we're fine. Send them back here. It works.
Presidents have done that for 150 years, and no one ever questioned the constitutionality of it until Trump.
If it's Trump. That seems to be the only agenda of the Democrats. If Trump is for it, he should make a list of everything he wants to do, claim he's going to do the opposite, and then the Democrats would put all of his policies into place.
Yeah. Yeah, there are so many things that he has done that he's not talking about on the EPA, on how he's getting rid of hundreds of thousands of regulations that have just made it impossible for the small businessmen to do business, unnecessary regulations of all kinds, getting rid of foreign aid, which is being used basically to prop up.
Yeah, for transgender Broadway shows in Ireland. I mean, that's a real priority with our tax dollars.
Apparently, we were funding the trans and gay agenda worldwide.
Yeah.
Via USIA, and we're using USIA money to destabilize countries around
the world. And isn't that some of the money that the Democrats were claiming they wanted during the shutdown? They're talking about health care, but there's other things in there like funding PBS and funding the trans.
Yeah, and we were undermining the Democratic parties if they were conservative parties in Hungary, Poland, Czech Republic, Israel, all over the world under Obama, under Biden, and for the first time ever, we're not spending billions on trying to covertly undermine a democratically elected party somewhere else in the world. So there's so many achievements that I wish Trump would talk more about that he's not, and he needs to sit down with his staff and come up with an agenda for the next year that's going to really appeal to a lot of the people in the middle. Still America first, but there's a lot of America first issues that people in the middle go, yeah, I'm in agreement with. Yeah, I do think we should secure our borders. No, I don't want to pay higher taxes for 10 million illegal aliens or 20 million illegal aliens, but they need to start talking like that.
Mark Levin had an interesting idea last night in terms of messaging. He said we should just talk about the difference in the cost of living between red states and blue states. Then you see that, hey, actually the red states are doing pretty good. I thought that was a great idea.
That's a great idea. You should have a chart, and every press conference, you should hold that chart up showing the difference between blue states and red states.
Yeah. Your predictions on where the Supreme Court's going to go with the tariffs?
That's a good question.
It's hard to predict, I know. But
I think we have three votes. just based on looking at some of the questions, I think we have three judges, which is not enough to win.
Yeah.
We may not win.
We need a lot more than that.
Trump may have to invoke other reasons why he's going to have a tariff and just not invoke a political reason. There are other avenues he can use to invoke. It's not going to prevent him from assessing a tariff. It is going to prevent him from assessing a tariff based on a political consideration.
So, but doesn't it get really interpretive what's a political consideration and what isn't? It seems like it gets kind of arbitrary.
It will be.
Yeah. Well, boy, if we could get rid of that blasted filibuster, then Trump could codify his tariffs through Congress. To me, a lot of it goes back to that blasted filibuster. I want to use another word than blasted, but I'm on the radio, so you can just hear me restraining myself here.
You've got a PG audience.
Now, there's one thing that Trump's been saying, and he says it on and off. He campaigned on getting all illegal immigrants out of the country. Now we're hearing, well, we're going after the worst, but in the food services and the farming industry, maybe we can make some kind of deal to keep them in. Now, I agree that those people are not as dangerous as people that are running slavery rings, but still, these are people that are taking the jobs and getting ahead of people that came here legally, and it's not what he ran on, and I think that's something that could cause us to lose the midterms, too. It seems like he's really equivocating on that.
Well, he is. And if you look at some recent studies from the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington, D.C., they have actually studied the whole issue of what kind of jobs will Americans do. And they found out that Americans will work farm fields, they'll work restaurants, they'll work all kinds of retail jobs. People need to understand that the jobs that the middle class are losing to illegal aliens are jobs that we've lost because we've allowed 20 million people into this country under Joe Biden.
And this argument that there's a certain kind of person that will do a certain kind of work that we don't want to do, that is the most racist, closest to returning to slavery idea that I've ever heard, and it's coming from our bleeding heart liberals.
And the people who are most likely to lose jobs to illegal aliens are blacks and Hispanics.
Yes.
Trump needs to
And that's why so
that
many blacks and Hispanics are with Trump on this issue, which is another best-kept secret.
He should be talking about that every single day, Bob.
He should get up there every day and say, every illegal immigrant in our country is keeping an African-American out of work. That's what he should be saying.
Perfect.
That's the other people wouldn't know what to say to that.
Yeah.
Steve, you're working on a book, and you were telling me a little bit about it before we went on the air. It sounded very intriguing. Tell us a little bit about that in the few minutes we have left.
Well, it's an historical book, which is something that I do to divert my attention from politics on occasion, and it's about a man named Thomas Smith, nicknamed Peg Leg Smith, and he was a legendary fur trapper, one of the early pioneers of California, and it was only one book ever been written about his life, but his life is as interesting as Kit Carson, as Jim Bridger. He was a trailblazer. He was really one of the first white men to cross the country into California, and so my book is hoping to bring out new information about what kind of man he was, what kind of life he led, and I've been researching it for about 4 years now.
When do you expect this book to come out?
Sometime next year.
Well, I'm really looking forward to reading it. That sounds intriguing.
Thank you very much.
Steve, you always have great insights, and I notice online you're willing to say a lot of things that other conservatives will not say. That's what caught my attention with these elections. I figured, okay, well, if anyone's going to go to bat for this, I know Steve Baldwin. It's always an honor to have you on our program.
Thank you for being on the show.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.